a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
It's Cougar Sports Saturday. Cougar Sports Saturday. A presentation of KSL Sports.
KSL Sports.
Left wing for three.
He got it again!
BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans for Cougar fans. Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte. On Utah's legacy home of the Cougars. KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
We have had a great time today on Cougar Sports Saturday. Great conversation Mitch had with the head ball coach, Kalani Sitake. Talk some Big 12, talk some signing day, which we'll get to in our next segment. Well worth a listen. If you missed that, head over to our podcast feed. Wherever you get podcasts, you can get Cougar Sports Saturday. And if you need a place to do that, download the new and improved KSL Sports app. And you can get that podcast right there.
Yeah, team-specific push notifications coming soon. I highly recommend downloading that KSL Sports app because a great way to get our content, our videos, our articles that we put out. And we've been putting out some recent content, too, on BYU basketball. And, Matt, today is a game day. BYU basketball going to be taking on Pacific tonight, 7 o'clock tip at the Marriott Center. Pre-game gets started with Greg Rubel and Mark Durant at 6 o'clock here on KSL News Radio and the BYU Sports Network. BYU taking on Pacific. They got a win, though, on Thursday. They ended a three-game losing streak by taking down Loyola Marymount, who Loyola was a team that a couple weeks ago took down Gonzaga in the kennel. It was kind of a toss-up game, and BYU blew them out 89-61. Felt like one of the better games BYU's had this season, Matt.
Probably the best game they've played all season in terms of Loyola flirting with a net 100, yeah. Right? At times they have been. So they're a good team. That'll go down as what? Probably a quad two, yeah. Win is what I would imagine when it's all said and done. So solid win. But what impressed me the most was two parts of that game, actually. They start off strong. They have the starting lineup change, which I thought was... It didn't quite yield the results that I wanted it to in terms of Noah Waterman didn't have a great game. It's not like that got him going. However, offensively, it did feel like there was better flow to start that game. And so their offense got going. They got out to a double-digit lead. I think at one point it even reached 20. And then there was a moment late in the second half where LMU went on a little bit of a run and you wondered, oh no, are they going to blow a 20-point lead? They pushed it back out to 18 at halftime, and then you wondered, can they sustain this? Because there's been moments of greatness, but not a full 40 minutes of basketball played from start to finish. Right out of the second half, then Hall buries a three, they get a layup, they're up 23, they never look back. So it was nice to see a complete performance, and that's why I thought it was their best win of the year.
And it was a great bounce back from the heartbreak from a week ago when they lost by a point to St. Mary's, and I know after that St. Mary's game, and I was out of town for both the San Francisco and St. Mary's games, but I got caught up to speed with watching those and whatnot, and And I could get a sense from, you know, online and just talking to some BYU fans that they seemed kind of frustrated with BYU basketball. Maybe felt that there was some questioning of Mark Pope. BYU sits at 15-10 right now on the season, 5-5 in West Coast Conference play. The way that this season has played out, Matt, has that concerned you at all with BYU? And I say this because I felt like those maybe some of the criticisms were maybe just out of touch a little bit, because I kind of felt like this was the season all along that was going to play out for BYU. In fact, I would argue that maybe it's a little bit better than I was expecting, because I didn't see a one-point loss to Gonzaga happening. I didn't see a one-point loss to St. Mary's, down three key rotation guys, happening. I mean, look, there's been some heartbreaking losses to South Dakota, Utah Valley, but it kind of feels like it's playing out the way I expected, and maybe it's – I don't know. I'm curious to hear what you think.
It has been better than I thought. However, I do have a concern with the program, and that is – and maybe I'm old school here. You're much more progressive when it comes to the portal and, you know, transfers and just adapting to the new waves of college sports.
Yeah.
I just don't believe living and dying by the portal is where BYU is going to have their success. Mm-hmm. I just don't believe that. And that's the reason coming into the year that I didn't think they would even be close to a tournament team. Yeah. I just felt like you let some guys go in the portal. Hunter Erickson, who knows what he would have done. Gavin Baxter, he hung it up at Utah before the year was done because his, yeah, from a medical perspective. But it did not yield the results in the portal. And I felt like there was some fool's gold at the beginning of the Pope era with Barcelo and Matt Harms, where it just felt like, hey, every year we're going to go in there, we're going to grab someone, and he's going to be, you know, flirting with second or first team all WCC. Yeah. That's what we're going to do. That we're just going to reload year after year, and I don't feel like that is where BYU can live. And I'm not saying just ignore the portal. You know, you don't need to pull a Clemson football here. You can supplement with it, but they really turned it over from the past couple years, and it hasn't yielded the results. And so my concern is, can BYU, under Mark Pope, recruit at a high enough level in the high school ranks to where you can build continuity, and every so years, you've got a team with juniors and seniors that can make some noise? Because, look, in college basketball, say what you want about the portal, teams that are great year after year and having success in the tournament, they're older groups that have played together. You don't see the number one transfer portal class with five or six new guys coming in dominating in college basketball right now. That's just not the trend in college hoops. So that is my concern, and we'll see what happens at the end of this year. Because if they can keep this group together, add one or two guys, then I'm going to feel good. And let's see what happens with that 2023 class as well, because there's some fringe three-star, four-star guys in the high school ranks. If they get two or three of them, like Isaac Davis up in Idaho,
yeah,
then my concern goes away and I'm okay. So that's kind of where I sit on it, is just the portal to me is a little concerning, that we just want to add five guys every year, and that has not worked the past two seasons.
Yeah, I think that, you know, Mark Pope has done I think this year has not been great by any stretch of the imagination. I think that what's interesting about this team, though, is that I do believe they are capable of getting to that WCC tournament championship game. They could also lose on the first night.
Yep.
That's what's crazy about this team. They do make it interesting. But they've shown enough to make me think, with Gonzaga being a little bit weaker than they usually are, there could be, you know, maybe a surprise run in March with this team. Maybe, just maybe, especially if the three-point shot is falling like it did on Thursday night, 50% clip for BYU. I will say, though, I am optimistic going forward into the Big 12 about BYU basketball. Unlike maybe, because even though, like, this record is not good, and I'm going to tell you, if this team, as currently constructed, was in the Big 12 today, they would be a winless team.
Dead last.
They'd be dead last. And look, and I think even Mark Pope would probably agree with that. The thing is, though, I am very optimistic about the potential of Mark Pope and this staff landing the necessary guys in the portal that can be impact players. Mark Pope said specifically to me back in December, after the early signing period, they didn't want to get any younger. They have to get old. And I think that they can get old quick in that portal. And I think you supplement those old prospects in the portal with Dallin Hall, who I believe is going to be a key factor going forward. Jackson Robinson's a nice piece. Spencer Johnson's going to come back. Trevin Nell's going to come back. This group has shown me enough to say, okay, you got some nice building blocks. Now can you go to get the star out of the portal? That's going to be the challenge for Pope. They've got an NIL collective now in place. I think they can do it. I mean, Mark Pope has shown they can get in the conversation for big names in that portal. They almost got Mac McClung a few years ago. They almost got Antoine Davis last year, who's one of the top scorers in college basketball this season at Detroit. So they can get in the mix. Now that they have an NIL collective with them, I think that helps the conversation. It's going to come down to that portal, though, Matt. I know that's frustrating. They do get Jake Wallin, a 6'7" guard, back from a mission next year. I think he's got huge potential. I mean, he could be a 6'7" guard. He's long, too. His arms he's just a long-bodied athlete, the type of athlete you want in Power 5 basketball. So I feel like BYU's got better days ahead. And I just feel like Mark Pope kind of told everyone this was what it's kind of going to be. That they were going to struggle to compete some nights. And that's why I guess I was a little bit surprised some of the reaction from Cougar Nation that they were feeling down and out about maybe the staff a little bit and this team, because I just feel like this is what I was expecting all along with this group.
I just feel like you're asking for heartbreak and disappointment if you feel like every year you got to go into the portal and add the star. I feel like we saw, even though he's on a mission, to me the path forward for success is you need Colin Chandler's. That guy's got all the talent in the world.
He's got him, though. Pope's done a great job with recruiting in this state. I just think maybe the high school scene, like in this cycle, is not too great. Isaac Davis in 2024 would be huge.
Yes.
He's a big-time prospect up in Idaho. But I think I just don't think there's any LDS guy in the high school circuit that Pope's lost out on that says, oh, how'd you lose him?
That's fair.
I think
that
he's doing a better job on that front, because there were times under Rose – And Coach Rose was an excellent coach, one of the winningest coaches, best to do it at BYU. But there were misses on the recruiting trail. I don't think Pope's miss as much. I just think I really sadly do think college basketball, the name of the game, is a portal. And
it
I know
is.
That's tough for BYU.
It. I hate it. I just would prefer, even if they're not as good, from a fan's rooting perspective, don't bring in someone to diminish a Dallin Hall. Like, yeah. Dallin Hall's the guy. Let's see if he can be the star.
Fair.
I'm not saying don't go into the portal. I'm just saying you got to bring in the right guys. You got to bring in Barcelo. You got to bring in Matt Harms. You can't just be grabbing anybody, because we saw last year they brought in some guys. Not to point fingers and you know be harsh, but Seneca Knight was not the guy. Like that guy hurt the locker room. He was selfish on the floor. It was a lot of isolation ball, and that did not work out. You can't bring those guys in. You can't just get anybody. They got to bring the right guys. And I just hope next year, keep this core in place, bring in some rotation players. Please bring in a big guy that can put Foose Traore down to the floor. And then let's see. Let's see what Robinson, Foose, Spencer Johnson leading the way, Dallin Hall is second year. Let's see what that is. It's not going to be good enough to win the Big 12, that's for sure. But going forward, if you could add Colin Chandler and those people. So, look, college basketball is in a hard spot right now, because I think a lot of us yearn to watch guys grow up. I want to see Jimmer Fredette again, man. Like, in terms of he comes in as a freshman, he earns his time, he's coupled with Jackson Emery, they come of age and they have a great run. Like, that's what I want. And to your point, maybe that's just gone.
Well, the thing is though, Matt, too, 15-10 right now, 5-5 in West Coast Conference play. You're out of sight and out of mind for the NCAA and maybe a fringe NIT team right now. The good thing is you put that resume together next year. Look at a team like Oklahoma State this year in the Big 12. 14-9, 5-5, top 30 team in KenPom. They're projected in Lenardi's field of 68. If you play 500 ball in the Big 12, telling you, the Marriott Center, I will say, that's the one thing I'm very fascinated by, too. The Big 12 affiliation in hoops, this is the SEC of college basketball. SEC in football, Big 12's king in basketball. What can BYU do in that portal, and what can they do on the recruiting trail to assemble a roster? Because you're going to sell the best league in America, and if you just go 500, heck, if you go sub-500, you might still be in the dance. And I think with the Marriott Center court, that's going to be so outstanding, that atmosphere. I get blown away, Matt. I'll admit, I marvel at Cougar fans sometimes that they show up on a Thursday night to LMU, 13,000. I go, it's amazing. Like, this BYU team is not really playing for much at the moment, but they're still showing up. You wait until it's TCU, Kansas, Texas. I mean, come on. This is going to be outstanding. It's going to be so scary. It's frightening what BYU is staring down in hoops. I'll tell you, we've talked so much about football schedule, and there's still reason for hope where BYU can maybe surprise folks and you know, do some great things. Basketball's daunting, where I don't know if they can be above 10th best at best.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just think there'll just be so many opportunities for great games, and they'll naturally level up. I mean, BYU gets a blowout win over LMU on Thursday, and no one in college basketball talks about it nationally because, well, it's LMU. They just don't. It's out of sight, out of mind. That brand doesn't conjure up any thought. You go and win a game in the Big 12 by 20 points, that is a big story in the college basketball ethos, and that, too, is going to do great things for BYU, where you're going to be in the national mix every single night when you line it up in Big 12 hoops.
Yeah, that's a good point. Let's take a break. On the other side, hey, there was a signing day, even though the February signing day is out of sight, out of mind, to use your words. There were a few announcements there. Let's touch on those after this. You're listening to Cougar Sports Saturday, powered by KSLSports.com.
Cougar Sports Saturday, hour number three, rolling along here. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, LJ Martin, BYU's newest running back signee. He was part of a three-man class, if you will.
Say that again. A February signing period was how big was the class?
Three guys. Yeah, the February's a bummer, man.
It's
not fun anymore. It's not what it once was. And LJ Martin was in Stowe back in December. He just wanted to have his, you know, public ceremony in February. We can talk to him about that coming up. But LJ Martin was the most notable announcement, and he's a 6'2", 205-pound running back from El Paso, Texas. And as you heard earlier, Kalani did draw some comparisons to Tyler Allgeier. There you go, LJ.
Oh, boy. Wow.
Kalani doesn't do that lightly, as I noted to Kalani. He doesn't do that.
LJ was significant. Because, look, whether you love it or hate it, it doesn't matter. It's just reality. Rankings matter. That's how you get some preseason rankings. That's how you generate some buzz. Four-star running back. Highest running back recruit that BYU's ever had. And it gave them four players in this recruiting class that were ranked four stars. That's the most that they've had, according to 247 Sports, since 2002. It's been over 20 years. So, yeah, we'll see if these guys all plan out, because there's been some bad classes that produce some great players.
Yeah.
Like, it goes both ways. But when you're leveling up into the Big 12, you need some guys with some stars. And adding LJ to the mix, I think, takes what was a recruiting class to a recruiting class. Like, okay, like, we're trending in the right direction.
Well, and he's a high school guy, one. And two, he had offers from Texas Tech, Kansas State, Kansas, Baylor, the heart of the new Big 12, and he was also a commit to Stanford. So after BYU beat Stanford, David Shaw resigns, and away we go. BYU's in the mix for LJ Martin. Huge get, and I'm looking forward to chatting with him, because he's a great kid, too. Cougar Nation's going to love this kid.
Yep.
They really are. He's got his head on straight. He's kind of embodies what you really want out of a BYU student-athlete. LJ Martin will make an impact. I think he could be in the two deep with Aiden Robbins. Aiden Robbins just had wrist surgery. This offseason, we'll see how his health is. He'll play, of course. I think he's probably RB1. Still got Hinkley Rapati.
He's
got Miles Davis, yeah. Mason Fakahu, and then Solje Maiava-Peters as well. Pretty good running back position group for BYU in 2023. The other signees were David Latu from Snow College. Great story from him, too. Heartbreaking story. His father passed away in December, so he was navigating the recruiting process with a heavy heart, and he commits to BYU, and I can't help but think, you know, his dad wanted him to go to BYU before he passed away, and that reminds me of Puka Nacua, Kai Nacua. Their father wanted all of his boys, the Nacuas, to play at BYU, and all of them actually did. Samson, Isaiah was there for a little bit, but, you know, so he's a guy that's going to play with a heavy heart, and he's going to be in play in honor of his father. Impact guy, potentially, too. Interior of the defensive line, which was a pressing need for BYU. 6'2", 305. He'll make an impact. He was a junior college second-team All-American for Snow in his one season in Ephraim. That's a potential impact guy for BYU.
Yeah. That one is probably the most impactful. LJ's got the highest ceiling.
Yeah.
But Latu is a guy who, if he can come in and compete right away, and you throw him into the mix with Jackson Cravens, the transfer from Boise State, and if they can shore up that interior of the defensive line and allow Tyler Batty on the outside to cook a little bit, and maybe you can get John Nelson going again, and I know you throw in another transfer from Boise State in Bagnaw. So there's some options there on the defensive line now, and that's really the position to me that if they can take a big step forward in the Big 12, that could unlock a lot of potential for this team.
Well, and also Sione Puha's coach in there, and Kelly Papinga at defensive end. A lot of proven coaches that have produced some great talent going to be on that defensive staff with Jay Hill, of course, leading the way. Let's take a timeout. LJ Martin, newest BYU running back signee. We just, you know, we're talking glowingly about him. Maybe the next Tyler Allgeier. Well, we'll get to know him next here on Cougar Sports Saturday, powered by KSL Sports.
It's Cougar Sports Saturday. Cougar Sports Saturday. A presentation of KSL Sports.
KSL Sports. Left wing for three.
He got it again!
BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans for Cougar fans. Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte, on Utah's legacy home of the Cougars. KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back in. We're live here at KSL Broadcast House, 2:37 p.m. Here, Mitch Harper, Matt Biamonte. We've been talking a lot of BYU football today. So much excitement with this new Big 12 schedule 2023. It can't get here fast enough. It all gets started September 2nd with BYU and Sam Houston lining it up at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. And one of the new faces in this BYU football program in 2023 will be on those sidelines. I would imagine he joins us now. Here on the phone line, he's LJ Martin, newest BYU running back signee, who just made it official earlier this week on signing day out of El Paso, Texas, new running back to BYU's backfield, LJ Martin. LJ, welcome on into the show.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
Appreciate you hopping on the program today, and congrats on making it official with BYU. I got to ask, LJ, you were once a Stanford commit, and BYU took down Stanford on that game in November, and then shortly after, David Shaw announced he resigned. Was that the moment right there and then where BYU got into the picture? How did BYU get into the mix for you?
Yes, sir. So it happened. I played my last game that Saturday for my high school football career, and then later that night, Coach Shaw resigned, and BYU beat Stanford, and Coach Shaw resigned. So after that happened, they let our running back, well, that's when Coach Harvey and Coach McDaniel, that's when they had reached out. And, you know, it just went off from there. They Stanford let my position coach go. And after that, I was pretty much just having a conversation with them. And I went on the official visit. Everything went well. And it just wanted to be it was just one of the places I wanted to be.
When Harvey and BYU reached out, LJ, what appealed to you about what they were selling from BYU?
I really just liked how they were just honest with me, and, you know, they just felt like genuine good people. That's what I really liked about them. I feel like, you know, just a genuine relationship, and they really wanted the best for me. So, you know, just being able to see that, it just made more sense of why I wouldn't go there, you know? Like, it just made more sense to go there.
LJ Martin, the newest BYU running back signee in the 2023 recruiting class, is our guest here on KSL News Radio. Did you have any previous interaction with BYU staff before they got into the mix after that Stanford game? Was there any contact before, any mailers or anything like that? Or was it just like that first week of December and then away you go?
It was just that first week of December. I had no contact with them before that. I mean, I always ended up watching BYU games because my dad, he has a coworker who's a super big BYU fan, so you always watch BYU games and stuff like that. So all those years, Tyler Allgeier, those 2 years, we watched him all the time. But, yeah, that's really all I knew about BYU, just Tyler Allgeier.
So that was probably because a lot of recruitments in high school, typically, it's a multi-year deal, forming that relationship and gaining that trust. I mean, that's a big leap of faith to suddenly have a lot of commitment to a faith-based school and BYU. So you were just really then impressed with this staff, what they had to offer then, it seems like.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Yeah, you know, they just did a great job of just showing, you know, how genuine they are, and you just felt like nothing but good people out there. So, you know, it just made the most sense just to go there.
You just mentioned Tyler Allgeier and watching him when he was here at BYU. He's with the Falcons now. But how much did his production at BYU as a running back appeal to you, knowing that BYU football for the past several seasons with Jamal and Chris Brooks and Tyler Allgeier, they've had success running the football?
Yeah, that appealed to me a lot. I mean, you know, just being able to have that success with the football, you know, always having a consistently good O-line. And, you know, I even talked to Tyler just to talk about, you know, how things were out there and how he felt our coaching staff was, and he felt they were all great people and things like that. And, you know, he said everyone knows what they're doing. Like, everyone who goes to BYU and plays football, you know, they want to be there. So that was just something important to me. And, you know, they're always going to make sure you got what you need and stuff like that. So, you know, just trying to develop my skills and stuff like that. I feel like that's why I made the best decision going to BYU.
How important was it to you, LJ, because you had so many offers on opportunities to play in Power 5 football, how important was it the fact that BYU is going to the Big 12? What role did that play?
It wasn't much of a factor for me because I was looking at you guys' schedule before that, and you guys always played Power 5 opponents or, you know, very good Group of 5 teams. And, you know, like last year, I think you guys played like Oregon, Arkansas, you know, Stanford, I mean, you know, Notre Dame, like big-time schools and stuff like that. So, you know, it was kind of like you guys were already a Power 5 school. You guys were just not – you guys just didn't have the name next to it, but – you know, no signing and being that Big 12 next week does have a little bit of a plus, but it wasn't really a big factor in my decision.
I'm always curious, LJ, when you know, the state of Texas is so just synonymous with high level of play in high school football. What is it about Texas high school football that makes it so good and so competitive to where so many athletes get opportunities like yourself to play at the FBS level?
Yeah, I would say it's just you know, everyone, I mean, that's all we breathe down here, I would say. You know, like, I mean, that's just the biggest thing. I mean, in our hometown, I mean, you know, like, some of the high school games are bigger than the college games from in El Paso and stuff like that. So that's just something out here that we see. And, you know, it's just like you got a group of people who just grow up playing football since they were little. And, I mean, you know, you see them all over the place, so you're able to see, know them since they were about 6 years old. So you just create a connection, and you're just rooting for them throughout high school and things like that. So I think that's what makes it so big.
A few more moments here with the newest BYU running back, L.J. Martin. You had a illustrious high school career, rushed for over 6,000 yards, 60 TDs. What's your style? Like, if you had to describe your style as a running back, what is it?
I would say I like to run like I'm a smaller back, but I do play with the physicality of a bigger back. You know, I like to make people miss because, I mean, if you're making people miss, then they can't tackle you. But if you're trucking through people and stuff like that, there's nothing wrong with it. But, you know, sometimes they just hold on to your legs. And, you know, every time I touch the ball, I want to get to the house. But I do make sure I get north and south. That's always something for me. And I'm trying to get, you know, up as quick as I can, get as many yards as quick as I can, and then after that, if I'm in the open, I'm going to make people miss, and, you know, they might, you know, and I try not to let arm tackles bring me down, you know. I feel like you really got to wrap me up in order to get me down.
So that's on the field. Off the field, LJ, clearly you got a impressive, you know, academic profile as well, because you had opportunities to Stanford, BYU, of course. What do you know about, you know, BYU as far as the what you're going to take it on education-wise? And, like, what was your GPA coming out of high school, too? I've heard it's, like, off. It was just really good.
Yes, sir. I have a 4.0 GPA coming out of high school. You know, I think I've just heard, you know, about the business school at BYU, things like that. They call it the Silicon Slopes now, so there's always good things. But I'm trying to still decide what I want in my degree. I kind of have an idea. I'm thinking of, you know, maybe psychiatry or kinesiology if I want to stay connected to football, you know, later in my life, or if not, I might just go the business route, and or if not both of those, I want to do something with science, so like be an environmental scientist or, you know, an astronomer or something like that.
It's impressive. When does that journey begin for you? When do you plan to get onto campus and get this BYU career started?
Once I graduate high school, I'll be up there as best as I can. So I'll probably be up there early June, late May, one of those. And then, yeah, I'll be up there working with the team, and I'm just really excited for that.
Last thing before we let you go, LJ, we appreciate you being so kind with your time here on the weekend. And we know you had some previous commitments as well, so we appreciate it a ton. Just maybe before we let you go, just maybe some of the goals that you have for yourself and this BYU team in 2023.
You know, for myself, I just want to go out there, be a great teammate, you know, do whatever you can. I mean, whatever I can to, you know, help us win games, you know, if that's making blocks. Just giving people high fives on the sideline, it doesn't matter. I just want to go out there and be a part of what they have. And then, you know, for my career at BYU, I want to definitely get us a bowl game every year. And, you know, I'm definitely trying to, you know, just be the best possible. 12-0 every year, that's always going to be my goal, you know. Cause, I mean, you've always got to strive to be the best, I feel.
Well, LJ, best of luck in your BYU career. We know Matt and I will probably cross paths with you when you get to Provo. We're looking forward to following your time and wish you nothing but the best and enjoy that remaining months in high school. That's always a great time as well. So we appreciate the time, LJ. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. Thank you for your time. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
That's LJ Martin here on Cougar Sports Saturday, the newest member of the BYU running back room, 2023 signee. 4.0 student. He does it all in a lot of different ways, and you watch his film, Matt. Just an impact player, and I love how he described it, where he plays a little bit like a smaller back, but, man, he can also bring the physicality as well.
I like the making guys miss in space. Like, why get tackled? If I could make a miss, that's more yards, and then north and south, too. Like, hey, that's how you get yards, north and south. So, man, He is an exciting player for BYU football. I cannot wait to see him wear blue and white.
Keaton Slovis has got some options around him, assuming, of course, Keaton's going to be QB1, which I think we all believe he will be. He's getting hyped up in the social media videos. It's
not
his
coming
team.
Here if you're the backup. He's got NFL aspirations. We're not dumb.
He's going to be the guy, but he's going to have some nice options. Nice ball carriers, Aiden Robbins, Hinkley Rapati, LJ Martin. Pass catchers with Chase Roberts, Kebo Hill, Cody Epps when he comes back from his injury. BYU's, you know, got some pieces and a lot of new names, a lot of new elevated roles. Let's see how it all comes together for BYU. But LJ Martin, I have a feeling, Matt, will have an impact on BYU in that first year with the program. Let's take our final timeout, and on the other side, we'll get to Cougar Tales, the hurry up, as we get to follow up all the stories that you might have missed throughout the week in the world of BYU sports. It's Cougar Sports Saturday, powered by KSL Sports.
Welcome back in to Cougar Sports Saturday, final segment. It's been a great show. We had our Big 12 football special in hour number one. A lot of Big 12 schedule talk. We heard from Kalani Sitake and one of the newest members of the football program in the last segment, LJ Martin.
Impressive kid. I mean, just a note on him, too. He carved out some time. Today he's been doing a service project to help kids with special needs. Like, great football player, great in the classroom, helping community service.
4-0.
That's just a BYU guy. And BYU got him at the last minute. I mean, in December. It's just kind of remarkable how impressive that kid was to have that faith to sign with BYU, not a member of the church, and he's all in, though. And, man, that's pretty cool. Great kid. I think he's going to have an impact in BYU in 2023.
Let's get to Cougar Tales, huh?
Cougar Tales. Let's get it on.
Nate Slack, our producer, what do you got from the world of BYU that we missed today?
We got some good stuff this week. I don't know if you guys saw the video of BYU football social media posted of Keaton Slovis and Isaiah, how do you say his last name?
Bogna?
Bogna, Isaiah Bogna, ranking player celebrations from last season. Did you guys catch that video?
I caught it, yeah.
What were your initial takeaways? Because I loved it. I thought it was awesome.
I thought Cody Epps had the best. I love that little shoulder shake, little swag, TD. I like Cody Epps.
I wasn't appreciative of Slovis critiquing the no-fly zone defensive back. I like that. It's classic, just that You know, I like that no-fly zone celebration from Jacob Robinson.
I agree, nice and clean. So Jaren Hall, Blake Freeland, and Puka Nacua participated this week in Senior Bowl practices. Didn't turn out quite how we hoped they would go. Puka Nacua basically disappeared after day one. No one really said any reason as to why. And then Jaren Hall didn't play in the game today, or isn't playing in the game currently. What are your takeaways on their participation this week? Were you guys a little disappointed with how it turned out?
Massively disappointed. Yeah. Jaren had flashes. It's not like he was bad. Like, he had some great throws, but there were some missed opportunities. Him not playing in the game, a little puzzling. Puka is the most disappointing, though, because he balled out on the first practice of Senior Bowl, and then you wanted to see how he followed up, and then he never had the chance. But I still think that one day might be enough to maybe raise the stock a little bit.
Just hope that they're healthy for the combine. That's all I hope for, because anything that happens at the Senior Bowl can be turned around with an amazing combine performance. And if they're at full strength, I got to think both those guys will test well. I don't know if Puka's necessarily the
4.3,
the testing extraordinaire. I think Jaren could surprise some folks, but they will. Jaren will definitely impress in interviews. Puka, it's going to come down to that film, and his film when he's healthy, it's really good. And these guys are dynamic. They're going to get drafted. Maybe they could. They avoided third or fourth. Maybe it's now going to be fifth, sixth, seventh, and you know, not ideal. But hey, get the opportunity. That's all that matters.
Two Cougars who are in the NFL currently, Kyle Van Noy and Jamal Williams, have made their appearances as TV personalities. If you guys happen to see Kyle Van Noy or Jamal Williams,
I did see Kyle Van Noy, and I got to tell you, his BYU days, I would have said no, that's not a TV personality. But what I saw after this season, yeah, maybe. Like, I could maybe see him being an analyst.
I loved his days at BYU. Those President Loge interviews with Greg Rubel during the coaches' shows, those were outstanding. It was like the Kyle Van Noy hour.
Good point.
And then last thing I've got, Women's Hoops takes on San Diego at 3 o'clock. They had that long winning streak snapped last week, I believe. But what do you guys have talked a little bit about Amber Whiting and what she's done with the program this year. What are your guys' thoughts on BYU women's basketball up to this point?
I think they're doing a really good job. I thought that when they started about, 4-8, I thought this is going to be kind of a disaster year, maybe 8-9 wins total on the year. But WCC's weak in the women's basketball. It's not a great league for that. I mean, Gonzaga's always at the top of that thing, too. Then outside of that, it's kind of BYU's the second best, you know, infrastructure-wise program, and they've got better talent overall. I think, though, just the better days are ahead for Amber Whiting in this program. I think the fact that she's maximizing this limited roster, which was kind of bare bones after Shaylee Gonzalez left, and then she's getting a top 25 recruiting class, I'm excited about women's basketball. That's another thing that's kind of a component to the Big 12 that I love. I feel like these Olympic sports are going to get more shine. I know with our work, we're going to be, you know, probably covering these teams more because the opponents they're going to face more. So it's just going to elevate everyone. And I think her recruiting chops, what she's done, Amber Whiting, really impressive. I'm trending up. I'm buying on what BYU women's basketball is doing.
Yeah, me too. What she did with Lauren Gustin, I thought was really impressive, because Lauren was a good player last year, but I don't think anyone felt like Lauren Gustin is going to be Miss 20-20. That has happened so many times this year. And her interview last week with us on Cougar Sports Saturday, she just talked about how Lauren is just such a great leader. It's all about putting in the work. And we have seen that this year. If you have those work ethic traits with some of the talent they're bringing in to replace, you know, Paisley and Shaylee, I think they're in a good spot. We do need to remember, though, that, like you said, the talent level, we cannot begin to describe the jump in talent that's going to happen from the WCC to the Big 12. So they may not be a winning program for a couple years, but I think the seeds are being laid for what could be a successful program in the Big 12 women's hoops.
Close us out with predictions for tonight. BYU and Pacific playing in the Marriott Center at 7 o'clock. How do you guys see this game playing out?
I don't know. Like, oh my.
Great way to sum up BYU men's basketball this year.
I do not know how to feel about it. Pacific, 5-4 conference play. Like, they can shoot the three, too. So that's what concerns me. They put up a 90 on the road against Gonzaga. So I guess I'll take BYU at home because of the Marriott Center, but Pacific could get them, and it wouldn't surprise me at all.
I'll say BYU wins. I say BYU, I'll say 74, Pacific 67. I've been impressed with BYU's defense. I think BYU defensively has been legit the last 15 or so games, and I think they'll get it done. And BYU would get to 16-10 and 6-5 in WCC if they win tonight. You'll hear the call at 7 o'clock. Gregor Bell will be on the mic. Pre-game gets started at 6. We'll be at the Marriott Center covering it all on KSLSports.com. Talk to you next week here on Cougar Sports Saturday.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are. And this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.